We're not professional. Hi, welcome to Sonic Serial. I'm Jesse.
And I'm Mark. And in this podcast, we take a deep dive into albums from some of our favorite artists, track by track.
Yes.
And today we are continuing...
We're continuing with the album Post by Bjork. And it was produced by Bjork, Nelly Hooper, Graham Massey, Tricky, and Howie B. And it was released in 1995.
And today we are doing tracks 2 and 3, which are...
Hyper Ballad.
And the Modern Things.
Yeah.
All right, let's start with track 2, Hyper Ballad. This is one of your favorite Bjork songs, isn't it?
Yes, it is.
And that's saying a lot because you live, breathe, eat.
Yeah.
Bjork.
Yeah.
You know the lyrics to every single Bjork song?
Almost.
Okay.
No. I know, not, I wouldn't say all, but quite a lot.
Okay. All right. So, what's an overview?
Well, this is the fourth single off the album.
All right. A little more about the album. Or about the song. This song was produced with Nelly Hooper. Bjork asked Brazilian composer Ymir Dodato to do the strings after hearing his work on Milton Nascimento's song Travessia. And she also covered the song.
Yeah, she did. And she knows Portuguese, I guess.
Tell us about what you think of this.
I was just saying, like, it's kind of weird that she would listen to the song and decide that she really wants to use the same string composer in her songs.
Yeah, let's take a listen, and then you decide whether it's kind of obvious or random that she picked this. And what was the working title for this song?
Cowboy Lemmings. What do you make of that? What are lemmings?
Let's talk about production. It has a lot to do with the song. If it was originally titled Cowboy Lemmings, there must have been some intention behind that.
I guess so. I think because, like, cowboys are kind of loner type.
No, yeah. Yeah.
And they're dangerous.
That's certainly
it. And they have a lot of rage in them. And,
can we start over?
Nope.
Okay. Let's talk about Hyper Ballad production.
Well, the song begins with strings playing quiet, sustained notes, and then a low bass, and then brush drums come in, and then vocals. And it's just, as the song progresses, different synths start to come in. And it also includes this weird, crazy, whistly sound. And then the strings swell. And you get this dance beat at the end, and different electronic percussions. And then the song finishes off with these cinematic slow strings. It's
sounds like a journey.
Yeah, it's quite the journey.
Quite the journey.
And so it just feels like cinematic, futuristic disco.
Did you come up with that?
Yes, I did.
I like it.
Thank you.
Yeah, I don't know much about production. I think it sounds kind of like you're on a, like, roller coaster.
Yeah.
You know, like, it's, I guess you just said that, like, kind of ups and downs. And,
oh. Yeah.
But, you know, like, you're moving fast, but you're also on a roller coaster, like, you know.
Yeah, it's weird how Bjork's music sometimes, like, really is, like, matches with the lyrics. Like the choice of production, the production choices. Yeah, she's not just throwing things in because they sound cool. There's a reason behind it. So the way the structure of the song is kind of deals with the lyrics as well.
From structure to meaning, let's talk about meaning.
Yeah. Well, the song is about having an outlet for your pent-up ugly sides to feel happy in your relationship. That's my take on it anyway. But in the song, she talks about sneaking off in the morning to throw things off a cliff. And at one point, she imagines falling to her death.
Can you sing a little bit of that?
Well, she says...
Can you sing a little bit of that?
I don't want to.
Just, you know, mouth sing it. You don't have to sing it. Just,
okay.
Just says, like...
I don't even know. Imagine what my body would sound like.
It sounds like an after school special.
This sounds like a Shakira song.
Keep going.
Slamming against those rocks, and when it lands, will my eyes be closed or open?
Will my eyes be closed or open?
That's deep.
What do you make of that? Does Bjork need help?
No, but sometimes when I'm driving, I think of what it would be like if I just like turned the wheel and flew off the, you know, the road or whatever.
Yeah, so I don't think it's meant to be sad. I think it's just a normal human hypothetical or existential thought, like involving your own death. I mean, a lot of people think about death.
Yeah.
And it's not just like, it's not because you want to die. It's because
you're going to die at some point. So yeah, it's inevitable.
You just think about it and you're like, what if I died? And so.
Yeah.
I get that because like sometimes like in airplanes, I just look down at the window and I'm just like, what if the plane just gave out right now or. Whatever.
The door blew out.
Yeah, or like another plane crashed into us, and I'll just be like, oh. and it kind of gives me this rush in my legs. Or like when I'm on a balcony in a high rise, and I look down, and I'm just like, I could totally just leap over this railing and just. Fall.
And no one would care.
No. Yeah, it's just like it's.
I totally get that it's a rush.
Yeah, because you don't know how that would actually feel, like knowing that you're.
But the fact that it's so possible, like there's nothing keeping you except your, you know.
And so it's weird. Like I get this like electric feeling in my legs, and then I. I go inside and I feel happy to be safe and alive. And I think it's like a normal feeling that...
So is that like when you are a passenger and I'm driving?
Yeah. I mean, as humans, we expose ourselves to dangerous situations every day. Like, we drive, we take airplanes, and a lot of accidents can happen. And even just walking outside, you're, you know, exposing yourself to possible danger because you just don't know... What could come up behind you and just end it all?
I feel like I'm watching 60 Minutes.
So I think every day you should just come home and be grateful. Another day above ground. It's a good day.
Back to song meaning. I don't think it's meant to be sad or anything. I think it's like this agreed with you, but I think it's like... Somebody who has to sort through their shit so that they can be happy with the person they're with.
Right.
Like, you could be with the best person and have the best relationship. And everything could be really cool. But if inside you have demons that are not related to the relationship.
Yeah.
It's going to fuck things up.
And then you need to get therapy.
So I think that's what she's doing. She's like, I have this, all this, like... stuff that's me, but I'm in this relationship that, what does it say? It's caring, or that, you know, she feels safe.
Yeah. And
so she's like, man, I got all this internal stuff. I don't want to fuck it up. She's throwing it off a cliff, like all her inner demons. And that's how I see it.
That's very good.
Speaking of visualizing the video, or the video.
Do you have any demons?
Do you have any demons?
That you need to throw off a cliff?
I can't think of any, but I would still love to throw things off a cliff.
Yeah, it reminds me of those demolition places where break shit and take all your anger out.
No, I would just like to throw it in here and hit the ground. Like when we burn the paintings, you know?
Yeah, it's fun.
It's just kind of like cathartic or something.
Yeah.
Okay, so let's talk about the music video.
Yes, this video was directed by Michel Gondry again. In this album, you're gonna find that he directed half of the videos from this album, and because I think Bjork was just so pleased with what he did on Human Behavior that she just decided to work with him again. And so, in the video, she's laying down with her eyes closed as if she were dead or asleep. And there's, like, animated mountains in the background. And there's a TV image of her singing projected over her face. And throughout the video, there's, like, these images of blinking colorful lights or the videos. And they appear to match the music. And then when the chorus comes in, we see a video game version of her running and falling off a cliff. And in the end, the video becomes really strobey. So it's like very Candy Raver vibes.
Refresh that.
And then, have you ever played the game Pandemonium 2 for PlayStation?
No.
Well, that's what this video reminds me of. Because if Pandemonium 2, it's like psychedelic. And it came out in the late 90s, so it has a bit of kind of ravey aesthetics to it. And,
This video was filmed at Telecine Cell in London and uses a multiple exposure technique, which involved 8 superimposed layers of images.
That's crazy. That's a lot.
It's
and the video didn't even involve any cuts, and so each take took 24 minutes to make, so the lights would be brighter, and then they just speed it up later in post.
We take a long time describing videos in ways that people probably watch the actual video and say,
I feel
this is nothing like their description.
And that's why you should watch it.
Don't take our word for it. Watch the video. The other thing is Bjork in the video is actually singing live, and the video, the single is a live version of this, of the album, of the studio song.
Yes. Correct? So she's not lip syncing.
Oh, like that's actually her singing while they're filming her.
Yeah.
She's wearing a reflective helmet lined dress and red boots by Walter van Beerendonk, which were on display at her MoMA retrospective.
Yes.
I used to like helmet Lang.
Why'd you stop?
No, I used to buy his stuff.
Like in the 90s?
Late 90s, 2000s, yeah.
Cool. Like when I was because of this video?
First shopping for myself. No. Mm. Just because he was cool.
I like reflective clothes.
That's right, your Halloween pants are reflective.
Yeah. I should have. Yeah. They're fun.
Any other comments?
Well, I'd like to take this opportunity to apologize because from the last episode we did, I made a comment about a hobo in the Army of Me music video. And in the storyboards, it actually said it was a dirty cowboy.
And that's why you're apologizing? Because you got it wrong? Not because...
That's right.
Because you called someone a hobo?
Yeah.
Oh, man.
Anyway.
What about live performances?
She has performed this song in almost every tour.
And what's your favorite?
My favorite is from her 2008 Volta tour. And I think it's cool how the song ends with the like a mashup of LFO's Freak. Yeah.
So that was good. How about remixes and covers? I know that it has a bunch of different remixes. Let's go through them now.
Well, you got the Brodsky Quartet.
You got David Morales.
That's your friend. Your friend David Morales.
Yes.
And LFO.
Flick.
Outkast, not to be confused with Outkast.
And how you be Outkast with a K.
Yeah, but this is Outkast with the C.
Yeah. Okay. And Howie B, not the Howie B, not to be confused with the Howie B hip hop producer.
Todd Terry.
And Toa Tai.
From D-Light.
Toa Tai.
Toa Tai?
Toa Tai.
Okay. I like that version.
Yeah, me too. I told you I liked that one. That was
yeah.
Before you even told me it was your favorite.
It's okay.
In a Reddit poll, though, the Brodsky Quartet version voted as the best version with 55% of the vote. And the Over the Edge mix was a distant second with 13% of the vote. So that was like really universal that yeah. people liked. Why do you think the Brodsky Quartet is so popular?
Well, it's violence and the way they make it is they changed up the whole song, like the bass and stuff. I mean, it's kind of similar, but they have their own melodies and different things throughout, like. It's pretty cool. Like when she's throwing things off a cliff, they make these like bird noises or like noises with the strings. It's pretty cool.
Well, this is there's no better time to talk about the single artwork then.
Yeah, the single artwork was made by Me Company and Toby McFarlane Pond, and it shows Bjork surrounded by shiny rocks, and I think her bluish purple and green face makeup makes her appear dead, and it kind of reminds me of the iconic Laura Palmer wrapped in plastic image from Twin Peaks.
And the Chemical Brothers are supposed to remix the song, but Bjork decided not to go with it, saying, "I will not have a slap bass on my record."
Yeah. She just doesn't like that, I guess. But that was okay because it helped the Chemical Brothers to create the song Dig Your Own Hole.
It would be a double entendre for that line.
Rejection isn't always bad. Wait, double entendre? Oh.
What? Dig your own hole, I assume, means like you're digging your own grave.
Yeah.
But what else could it be? Well, the song has been covered by the Yeah Yeah Yeahs, Tori Amos, and the Dirty Projectors. And in 2010.
Yeah.
What happened in 2010?
Robin, she did a live performance of the song at the Polar Music Prize ceremony honoring Bjork's career. And I guess Bjork didn't seem all that impressed. No. I mean, no, I say that because there's a running joke in the Bjork fan community. I follow this Facebook called Bjork's Vault of Dank Memes. And they always make a joke about how they, like, you know, make, they show Bjork's facial expression as Robin is singing, and she just doesn't, she seems kind of upset. But I don't know. I think she probably just had other things on her mind, or maybe she was uncomfortable about the whole ceremony.
Probably.
Just watching people.
It seemed like a formal ceremony. Like, nobody was standing up. People were clapping. Like, yeah. They were, like, at a queen,
just, you know, like, thing. I can get the discomfort in watching someone sing your own song back to you. And it's like, for a whole night. Yeah.
Yeah. And it's, and somebody like Robin, that I'm sure she thinks, you know, I'm sure she has, like, camaraderie with all musicians, but it's not like it's, you know.
Yeah.
What's her name? Running up that hill.
Oh, Kate Bush.
Yeah, like, if it was Kate Bush doing it, right? Who's, like, this,
yeah,
you know, sort of accomplished singer, but.
And Bjork loves her.
Kate Bush?
Yeah, she said she is mother. Literally. She did an interview saying Kate Bush was mother.
And it also has kind of an imp, or. It has had an influence on songs like Dido's Take My Hand and Robin.
So we're not going to talk about the little remix I did?
I was going to finish with that. Damn. I thought it would be a really nice way to, like
I thought you were just giving over it. You were like, enough of that shit. No self-promotion.
I was saving best for last, is that our own Jesse here has a hyper-pop remix, which is pretty stellar.
Yeah, I have it on my phone. If, can I play it?
Oh.
Okay. Okay. Oh, I'm just kidding.
That's not your version. It actually sounds professional. Okay.
Well, I feel like this has had an influence on songs like Dido's Take My Hand and Robin's With Every Heartbeat.
I just said that. As far as charting, this song... entered the charts in, oh man, I just lost my, what'd you do?
I didn't do anything.
This song first charted on February 18th, 1996, and it entered the charts at number 8, and then, dropped to 28 in a week later, and then a week after that, to 49, and then eventually got to 85 before it fell off the charts forever. Just waiting for the TikTok.
Oh, you mean the TikTok, like TikTok. Okay.
What do you think I meant? Yeah, like for somebody to, you know, yeah, TikTok it, and then all of a sudden it's like at number one, and I'm surprised no one's done that to any of Bjork's songs.
Well, let's do it.
I feel like it would be violently happy, though, which... If...
Bjork doesn't need a TikTok moment. She hasn't gone anywhere.
She hasn't gone anywhere?
She's still making music. Oh. Usually the TikTok things happen for, like, people's careers or...
No, because sometimes you'll be, like, you know, a successful artist, but not, like... You know, Beyonce level.
Yeah, I guess so.
And then sometimes a TikTok can take you from that to, like, you know,
true,
as much visibility or kind of part of popular culture as like a.
Yeah, I'm surprised it's not the Oh So Quiet one.
Yeah,
but we'll talk about that.
Are we gonna make a TikTok?
Yes, we are.
Okay.
Anyway.
Besides, what else?
Yeah, that This is one of Elvis Costello's favorite songs by Bjork. And,
as far as misheard lyrics? Oh, misheard lyrics. That means we're at the end of the track. What's the original? Sing me the original.
I just did.
No, the original lyrics.
Okay. I go through this before you wake up so I can feel happier to be safe with you again.
And the misheard lyrics are, I go over this.
Sing it.
I go over this before you fuck up so I can feel happier to be cyber girl with you.
That was good. That's going to be our song.
All right. That's the end of track two.
Hyper ballad.
And now we are going into the second track of this podcast. So hang on. we're at the halfway mark. So this is The Modern Thing.
Yeah, it's The Modern Things.
Or as you like to call it, The Modern Thing-a-lings.
Anyway, this song is Bjork's take on the evolution of technology backed by an electronic and jazzy sounds. So how about some background?
The song was written with Graham Messy around the same time as Army of Me. And she said these songs were more raw than the soft and polished songs on debut. Do you agree with that?
Mm-hmm.
She said the debut was more London and Post was more a little bit Manchester, a little bit Scotland, and a little bit Bristol.
Have you been to any of those places?
I have. They're all like suburbs of... that's not true. Some of them are suburbs. Some of them are like... Scotland's obviously a different
country. Do you think
country,
that...
But,
compared to London, that you get what she's saying?
Manchester, Scotland, and Bristol are all considered... Even Scotland compared to the UK is more working class.
Yeah, yeah.
So, yeah.
A little rough.
Sure. Rougher.
Well, Graham Massey said that they made these demos in 2 days.
Fast.
Yeah, that's fast. They were quite productive. And so how this collaboration came to be, I didn't talk about it last time, but what happened was Bjork contacted Graham Massey to collaborate after she left the Sugar Cubes, and she heard the album he did with 808 State called 90. We listened to some of that today. And then she recorded a few songs with them, and she performed them before recording debut.
And what about production?
The song basically has like a lot of synth sounds and some jazzy drum samples, and it's kind of like psychedelic chill vibes. And then there's a sample of a song called Latinesque by Esquivel from 1962. And then the song ends with Bjork, her vocals repeating as like the record is skipping. And then in the background, you can hear her doing her infamous dolphin sound mixed in with the vocals. Oh, I cannot. It's bad for you, actually. I should have shown you.
We wouldn't want you to miss your
I guess it's
going to be Royal Albert Hall performance. All right, let's talk about song meaning. Jesse, what's your take?
The song talks about how modern technology has always existed, and I think she's trying to say that everything has an origin or starts somewhere. And it ends up saying how it's all been waiting to multiply and take over. So it seems like it could be like a fear technology or, but knowing her, it's probably more of a celebration of technology. Anyway, I like the part where she talks about the dinosaurs. It sounds like she's like a kid.
Can you sing us that bit?
She says, they've just been waiting in a mountain for the right moment and listening to
Can you do it like Southern, like Dolly Parton?
You sound sick right now. Can you do it in a Southern accent?
They've just been waiting in a mountain for the right moment and listening to the irritating noises of dinosaurs and people drumming outside.
He doesn't thank you. Noises of dinosaurs
and people. Right. And there's also sections in this song where she sings in Icelandic.
Yeah, she says, oh.
You don't want to say it.
Okay. Well, the English translation is, no one pays much attention to us. The sun sets. Nobody knows how to pull out the best of me.
So there's actually a lot of debate, even from Icelanders, on what she's actually saying and what it should be translated to. And the general consensus was that there's a lot of Icelandic words, but the phrases don't really make sense. And it's a lot like a child talking where they kind of jumble the words together and some things are just like,
Liberty. That's kind of what Cocteau Twins do. They just like a flirty gibbet on the moon or I don't know.
I mean, Sigur Rós is a lot of that, right?
Yeah, it's just like you're not singing to send a message. You're just singing to sing.
No, but there are sometimes it's a lot of like made up.
Yeah, it's just words, made up words, whatever you want.
I really like the sentiment of the song. I feel like the idea that everything that is modern today has always existed since the beginning of time. Like, if you think from like the rocks from a billion years ago turned to sand that made the concrete that built the foundation for this brand new building we live in.
Yes.
Or that like lithium and cobalt
it's are like
used for electric cars.
Where does everything come from? And where does everything go?
I think we're done with this podcast.
No.
Sleep on that.
Just continue.
Well, yeah, I think to your point about evolution, like everyone talks about evolution and you sort of think of people, you know? But like, what about the evolution of a rock or of like, you know, a piece of carbon that turns into a diamond?
This is too deep for me.
All right, let's talk about live performances.
Sorry.
It's okay.
She has only performed this song live on the post tour, but she also did a special performance with the Brodsky Quartet. It's cool.
And there aren't really any sort of official remixes.
Yeah. And then there's a cover by the band High Place.
Are we going to hear that or no?
Oh, yeah. I can play it.
Okay. there's also a lullaby cover. There's actually a whole album of Björk lullaby covers. And this is one of them.
And again,
not to toot your own horn,
I did a mashup of the song with the song Terrana by Psychedelic Research Lab.
How about trivia?
Well, it's not much trivia around this song. But speaking,
did we say it was a B-side?
It's not a B-side.
Oh,
it's just not a single.
Oh,
it's on the album.
I know, but I thought it was a B-side of another single. I thought it was on the back of one of the other songs.
No.
Okay.
Sorry. Yeah. Well,
I guess you have to release actual singles, like records, for there to be a B-side.
Yeah.
Or a tape.
Yes. So, speaking of Army of Me, because, yeah, we were talking about it. I forgot to tell you. I can play the bass part from Army of Me. I taught it to myself.
You talk about that every day. You forgot to tell me.
I know. I taught myself.
Every party we go to. Every new person we meet. Or anyone who will listen. There was a nun on the train from Milan to Zurich, and she barely spoke English, and she knew that you could play the bass part from Army of Me.
Yeah. She was, loved it. Okay. Anyway. Also, Bjork was offered the role of Sub Girl in Tank Girl, but she declined.
What do you think she declined? It was a cool movie. Do you think it was just not artsy enough?
She was probably just like not prepared to act yet.
Mm.
And she was just starting her career, so she just wants to focus on her music. Oh, another thing I found was that when she released the music video for it, she just declined to let them put the clips of the movie in her video. Maybe the record label, because the box office ratings weren't doing so well. Or it wasn't doing good in the box office. Yeah.
Another piece of trivia, she said that this song came to her while she was doing laundry. And it actually came from a quote where she said that doing laundry is her favorite housework, because she's written, like, she's thought of so many songs while doing laundry.
Are you just trying to get me to do laundry?
No, I'll find the clip.
We should have said doing laundry and the dishes and making key lime pie.
Oh, I was looking for the quote. It's from 2002. And she says, my favorite thing to do around the house is washing clothes, because that's when a tune usually comes into my head. That's all. And then she said, songs such as, that makes sense, like modern things, like you're doing a dishwasher, you're like, I wonder if that's where she got it. Like, she was in front of the washer and dryer.
She's like,
these modern things.
This must, like, a little grain of this machine must have been around since the dinosaurs.
Yeah, I mean, that iron. And
she hid that blunt.
Go on. What else do we have to say?
We got some misheard lyrics.
Let's listen to them.
And Chairman Mao picked it out for me. Okay, I'll sing it just because you've been a sport.
Okay.
In German, Mao. not that fun. Take two. That's my foot.
No way. I think like take two. I mean, not very.
And Chairman Mao picked it out for me. And that's it. And Chairman Mao picked it out for me. He's picked what out? Who's Chairman Mao?
How do you have an advanced education?
Wow.
Just the leader of the Chinese Communist Party. Sorry.
Is he still alive or is it historical? God.
Let's finish with a quote from Bjork. Music is at the heart of nature. Lord, we who sound her marbles know that she is drawing her voice from the deep wells of the soul. Amen. I don't get the Lord.
Amen.
What does she say, Lord?
What are you talking about?
I don't know. I think this quote reflects like her deep connection to music and that it's like profound and I don't know. Like the Lord part, you know, it's like her religion. All right, that's the end of our podcast.
Yes.
What's the next week?
Oh, track 4, 5, and 6, and that's going to be It's Oh So Quiet, Enjoy, and You've Been Flirting Again.
Me?
Yes.
Say goodnight, Gladys.
Goodnight.